Well, we're going to go back tonight to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. We had started into there last week and talking about David, looking at David. We want to learn some things dealing with David and Saul and things about, especially as we look into this thing of David and Goliath. One thing that the Lord's been this past week emphasizing to me out of this chapter, because I always go back over and read where we were and go over things and then look to where we're going, because, you know, there's things that you want to glean out of these. They have to speak to us. They're not stories. They have to fit into our lives somehow that we can see how it works. If they're not, if they don't, I mean, a good story is not enough. I mean, you can sit down and read a book and it's a good story and you read it and you like it, but does it really fit in your life, or is it just sort of an entertainment? In some ways, I think some of the stories they use in the Bible were more for entertainment than they were for really getting, well, how does this fit? These people are living in our life. Where does it go? Well, we want to look at this tonight because we're going to be dealing with the area of faith. And we're going to see the difference between walking by faith and especially with people who are anointed, whether they're anointed in our world. We talked about the fact we all have an anointing for the Holy One. But the fact that we're anointed in itself is not enough. We walk by faith in the Bible. You know, when we read the Old Testament and the New Testament, a lot of people act like, you know, there was a real change of things. We understand it's a different covenant. We're born again. We became children. We have the nature of God. But they had to walk by faith under the Old Testament. We go up before the law. Abraham, he's called the father of faith. We have the picture of faith the whole way down through is the picture of walking by faith. Faith has always been what pleases God. It's you're trusting Him. And so we want to see this. We're going to find in this, dealing with David here and what the scripture says, we're going to find there's really a difference in contrast of why God did what He did, and especially from David's standpoint. And it'll benefit us to see it, what God was doing here. We had started off where David, in the 17th chapter, where David was out with his sheep and his dad called him in and said, hey, I want you to take this food and stuff and go down and see your brother. He also gave him some cheeses and stuff to take along to give to the guys in charge there. Well, we found out last week, you know, the Philistines were on one mountain, and on the other mountain side were the children of Israel, and they were there 40 days. That always blows my mind. 40 days they're sitting on a hill, and this guy comes out. His name's Goliath, and he challenges them, you know, you send somebody down, and if I beat them, then you're going to be our servants. If you beat me, then our guys are your servants. And the whole thing was a lie. The guy was lying. He said, wait, the devil's always going to lie to you. I understand. The devil's a liar. He'll tell you anything, and people that follow him will tell you anything. They'll tell you, and they ain't going to listen to it. They're not going to do it. And this is what they were doing, and you know, they would round up, we found, you know, they would line up for battle and get all like charged up and rah, 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 and Goliath would come out and the Israeli army would run. Hallelujah. Well, have you ever been like that in your life? Have you ever done that? we were tough till the thing showed up and said, well, adios amigos, I think we'll go do something else. If you ain't ever been there, you're probably lying. So, yeah, I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to get a really good goodbye. I'll see you then. Anyhow, so those things go on in life. But to me, it's just really an interesting story as you look at this as going on. And it has to be, you know, I think about, you know, how do the psychologically the guys take this? I mean, you're out there, and it's the war going, you keep doing this. I mean, after a while, man, the getting up and lining up to fight again is like, you're like, nah, just stay in the tent. I think I'm going home to the sheep. So this is sort of what is going on here in that stuff. So, but we found in verse 24, we had read this last week in the 17th chapter, verse 24, it says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So it said, the men of Israel said, this is when David had showed up there. He said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, that the man who kills, great riches will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. said, then David spoke to the men who stood by, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And I want you to get tonight, we're going to make some emphasis on this. We read it last week, but I want to make emphasis on this because of David's statements that he makes here. David, first of all, he said, this guy is an uncircumcised Philistine. And we need to understand, when you see this word talking about something uncertain, this is speaking of the fact this person doesn't have covenant with God. And that's what it means to Israel. They don't have it. In other words, David's saying, we have a covenant with God. This guy don't. Who is this guy to defy? He's defying our God under our covenant. So this is a statement of faith. We're going to find out later, you know, is one thing as we look at, when we deal with the area of Saul and the anointing, Saul was as anointed just as much as David was anointed to be king. But it's one thing is if you go back and read over, like Saul's reign and coming into it, Saul was never a man who really spoke things of faith. He didn't do that. He never made these kinds of statements. He never made statements say, hey, these guys are coming against us. And, you know, David immediately goes over to the fact that we're God's covenant. In other words, we're under God. David's recognition of God in the covenant really has a lot to do from the standpoint of his faith in the fact, if doesn't matter how much you're anointed, if you don't act in faith toward what God is working in you, probably ain't going to produce too much. It probably won't, even though you have the anointing, but acting in faith with it. But we see with David, David begins to look at this whole thing of enemies. He's looking completely different than anybody else. These guys see this big giant down there, this huge man, and David looks and says, hold it. You don't have a covenant with God. What's all this stuff out here? This guy's getting away with this. See, it's a completely different view of David. David isn't, it's not about David being tough and strong. He's not saying that. He's looking at, hold it. This guy's messing with God. You don't have to be scared of him. He doesn't have to be scared of him. And we need to get that today in ourselves and dealing with things, because sometimes, you know, people getting, especially there's so much fearfulness among people today and stuff and things that are going on. People are afraid. And when we lose confidence that God's working for us, I have a better covenant than David had. My covenant is greater. David was a servant of God. I'm his child. You know, we're the circumcised of heart. David wasn't. David's covenant was a physical circumcision. Ours, we have the very nature of God. We're his children. And if David could be such bold under that covenant, how much more we can be bold concerning our own covenant is the fact as we look at this. This uncircumcised Philistine. Well, it says, and the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. It is very interesting because David looks at this thing, hold it. What do you get out of this if you kill this guy? You know, David has an interest in reward. Now, I hear people, and people say this all the time, well, you know, as a Christian, we aren't supposed to be wanting stuff and this and that. God's whole system is set up on reward. If you don't like reward, go to the devil. He'll take anything you have. If you don't want reward, but God's whole system's based. You do the will of God, he blesses you. That's the way it works. So David comes out and he looks and says, hey, you kill this guy? Man, what do you get out of this? What do you get if you get this guy here? What happens to you? And it's like, and it's a whole thing. It's like, I've always thought the fact of, you know, just like with ourselves, and like all the things that God probably, like with healing. You believe God for healing, you get health. It's like some people say, well, we don't want anything. I say, yeah, I do. When I'm sick, I want well. Give me well. You know, I want a job that pays some good money. I want those things. What's wrong with that? You know, God tells us to give. He don't want me to have a good job? Well, then he can go bug somebody else for the money. Don't talk to me. No, but God's system runs on a thing of blessing. You got to get that in your mind and get it in your thinking. You know, the children of Israel really are out here in this place and they're not walking in their covenant. This giant comes out and all of Israel, you know, we tell that the king lost his anointing. They're not it. They don't think about the reward. Just think about, I mean, the The king offers such a reward, and not one guy will take him up on it. Not one guy that's on the army is taking him up on this thing. And the whole reason they're not is because the reward ain't worth the fight. They don't think they can fight this guy. They're going down there, we have to fight this guy. David's not going down to, he has to fight this guy. Because we're going to find out what David says about this going down to do this thing. He's going down there. But David ain't going down there because he thinks he's big and take that guy because of that. See, we need to understand because David is in a walk of faith here. So then David's brother, we talked about this last week, the eldest brother, Eliab, it says in verse 28, his oldest brother heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger arose against David, and he said, why did you come down here? Who have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of heart, for you have come down to see the battle. See, he knows. Here's big brother. You know what? Big brother's embarrassed. That's what it is. Big brothers, this is the guy that got passed over for king, and his little brother got it, and he still thinks he probably ought to be king. And he's the big king hiding with the rest of the guys. Okay, well, David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? He said, then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. See, he asks again, hey, hold, what do you get? Now he's making sure I understand this. Say, well, I want to hear this from more than one person. I know what this guy said, you're going to get this and you don't. I want to see. No, so he's finding out. No, he goes three times through this thing about what he gets. What do you get out of this? Well, and so we go on to verse 31. It says, now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail him because of him. He said, your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Your servant's going to do that. And he tells him, you guys, don't get upset. Now, another one, understand this. David's anointed as king. But he's responding to his anointing by faith. He's responding to, he is talking like he's anointed. He's talking like someone who's going to do something. He's talking like God, hold it, this guy's an uncircumcised Philistine. This guy doesn't have a covenant with God. We do. He's talking in this manner. You know, you never have at any place where Saul talked in this kind of manner about things. Saul, you're going to find it, Saul never moved till God told him to. He never acted like he was king. He had always be told to be king. We're going to see this as we go along. I said, and Saul said to David, you're not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth and he is a man of war from his youth. He's not encouraging. He wants to get somebody down there. A guy said, well, you can't go do that. David goes down and said, yep, I'm going to go up there. We're going to take care of this thing. Nope, you can't do it. Now this guy here, see, this is the whole thing is, and get the picture from yourself. This is why it's getting in the areas of faith of what God will do for you. Because all of us are going to face things at times that are greater than our abilities to deal with. See, I find that this is one of the things that, especially in the areas of healing, because God has dealt with me a lot over that area a lot of the years. This is what happens to people who don't learn how to operate in faith on things, even if they could go to the doctor and get help. They don't learn how to operate there. If they face something where doctors can't help, they're usually finished because they haven't learned to operate in faith that, hey, when I'm facing something, God's in this. It's going to get taken care of. We're going to get this thing working. God is going to do something about this. No, they're waiting to see if the doctor can do something. They're waiting to see if that's their answer. You might go to the doctor, but it's number one. What do you go to the doctor and he can't do anything? And even if he can, who are you going to give credit for? What are you going to do? We need to learn to walk in this area. See, David's along over here in this area. He says he's going to down. Saul says, you can't do that. Now, he's the king. You're getting out of there. This guy's been trained a lot because Saul's not listening. He's not paying attention to what's going on. All he knows is he's as scared as anybody else out there about facing this guy. Now, understand this. Saul is a head taller than any man in Israel. David's probably a head shorter. David wasn't a tall guy. He was short. Saul's this big dude and he's scared to death. And he looks at David, you can't do it. Why? Because I'm such a big guy and I can't do it. So you can't do it. And that's what he does. This is one thing you're going to find out about David. David's humility is number one. It's one of the reasons David's success is his humility in the things. You're going to find out the same thing with Jesus' success in ministry. It was exactly the same thing. The difference between David's kingship and Saul's kingship was servant. David was a servant to his people, and Saul, the people served him. They were all supposed to serve him. That was the difference in David. David served the people. That's why they liked him. He served them. And see, that's what the whole point. The anointing is like, you know, you've heard me say many times, I'm not anointed for me. We're anointed. Jesus Christ was anointed to redeem me. He came and served me. He got redemption for me. That's what he came for. And so we need to understand these things as we look at him. We see David. David comes along. David is anointed as king. Saul don't have the anointing, yet David submits his anointing to Saul to help Saul out, and Saul's as dumb as a stick. Why? Because he never served people. They served him. Big difference. He never looked at people as, how can I help them? No, it's always, what can I get out of the deal? What's in it for me? What's in it? Now, there's nothing wrong with being blessed. You know, that's good. But what's your purpose? Why do you want to be blessed? You know, some people want to be blessed just to hoard up more stuff and get more things and have do stuff, and so they can do more things. But is it being blessed? The anointing is given to us to help other people, and get that in your mind. Because if you use the anointing, it's like I've told you people before, when I asked the Lord as a younger Christian, I said, why do you reveal so many things to me in that stuff? I said, seems people go out here and study, try to find out stuff. He said, because when I reveal things to you, you give it away. Other people. See, it's, you get things, you give it to somebody else. You don't, I mean, most people are always trying to hoard up everything, trying to, you know, keep it for myself and, you know, use it. It's not for ourselves. Why? Because God will bless my life. God will take it. He'd be a fool not to. Be a fool. You know, it's like having a good worker, and that's a guy you want to treat bad and do stuff, and the lousy worker you want to take care of. I mean, that'd be a stupid thing. So you want to bless the person that's taking care of you, and that's what you, that God will bless you. You're not going to lose. You're not going to lose serving God and serving people. You're never going to lose. God's going to take care of you, whether nobody else does anything or not. Don't matter. God will look after you. And so that's a confidence. But we see it, David. David is not fearful. Why? He believes God's going to take care of him. He believes God will take care of him in this thing. And so he does. We find that he does have proof of that. It says, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion and a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, he said, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. He said, your servant has killed both the lion and bear. And he said, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied what? The armies of the living God. Why is God going to help David? Not because of David. It's because this guy defied the armies of the living God. See, David understands what this fight stuff's all about, what this thing's going on. He understands what this is. What we're dealing with here is really as a Saul, even as a king, he was a very unspiritual man. He wasn't spiritual. He didn't understand what this was about. Here's David. David said, look, this guy's going to take care of this guy, this uncircumcised dude out here. He's fighting against God's army in the earth. Well, see, in the earth physically, Israel was God's army in the earth, dealing with things and people. Now, we deal with the spiritual army, which is why is what behind everything else that runs in this earth. They didn't have authority to do that. They couldn't deal with the real enemy. They couldn't do that. You and I have the authority too, as Christians, to deal with the real enemy. Who's behind all this junk that goes on down here? You and I have been given it. David understood that in the earth, God's plan that he had set up in the covenant, that Israel was God's covenant people, and you don't mess with God's covenant people. You follow it through the scripture. Look at the things we look in the Judges, what different nations did to Israel. But when it comes down to the bottom line of it, you only go so far. You don't even know how bad Israel got. God stepped in and knocked the other guys out. He would only put up with it for so long. And it's the same way. We may do dumb, but we're God's people. And get that in your mind and yourself, and the way that you think and the things that you're facing and going through. God's on your side. See, people lose that. They lose that fact. You get discouraged because of the things that happen to us. And sometimes we allow Satan to run over us on things because we forget about who we are and what we are and God's great willingness to do something for us. And he's waiting for us to stop and say, you know what? I'm one of God's kids. This is hey, he's going to do something about this. This ain't staying in the same way it is. What are we saying in the midst of the battle? I'm not saying people are talking discouragement in the midst of the battle. They're discouraged. Their voice, you know, they're on the Saul squad. You know, they're talking the Saul stuff, you know. But he's not, he's over there talking, you know, he's God's squad. He's over there talking like he's saying about what God's going to do about this. God's just been waiting for somebody to say this. We're going to find out. You look, Jonathan talked about what God would do. He wasn't the anointed as king. But when he spoke by faith what God would do, God did it. Why? He's under God's covenant. He ain't serving a different God just because he don't have the anointing as king. His dad had the anointing as king, and he's the one responding, and his dad's trying to make a sacrifice he ain't supposed to be doing. It's like two people completely different. One in faith, one being religious over here doing his thing. Trying to do something in the natural to get God moved instead of walking by faith. Hallelujah. This is what I've learned over the years. I've watched people with great anointings, and I watch them end up can't get things to move as well as somebody that's just a, you know, regular person and just a Christian. And just believe God. It doesn't. God's not moved by who's what. He's moved by faith. People who operate and walk by faith. Hallelujah. So David said, you know, so David can't be thinking he's just this tough guy killing the lion and the bear because the things that he's talking about, we're going to go on and listen to what he says about it. You know, he trusted God when he was out with the sheep. See, when there's one thing, see, before I was ever in the ministry, I learned to trust God in things. God taught me how to trust him in things. You learn to trust God and stuff and every day in the little things of life. And what about, you know, you don't go down and fight the giant when you ran from the lion or the bear. Because that guy could probably eat the lion and the bear. As big as he was, you know, lion would be too big to him. But we need to get that in our thought. This is David, what David's doing here. He said, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered. Now listen, who did he say delivered him from the lion and the bear? The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Whew. Boy, I hope this works. But what did he tell him? The Lord's the one who delivered me. This is how this worked. It was the Lord. He had faith in God and God delivered him. See, David's not taking credit of how good he... No, the Lord did it. All I did, I stood in faith that God would take care of me, and God did. So, this is about a walk of faith. Completely, completely different thing. You know, Saul may have lost the anointing, but that doesn't mean he couldn't have walked in faith. See, when people just sit around and just did the anointing, thank God for the anointing. But, you know, it's one thing as I learned as a young Christian... No matter what you're anointed to do, you have to walk by faith just like anybody else. Just like anybody else. You learn to walk by faith. If you don't walk by faith, well, you might have an anointing and be able to do some things for people on the anointing, but you might live a messed up life yourself. And we don't want to go there. Hallelujah. Well, it said, so Saul clothed David with his armor and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a mail, with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Now, I just think it's but a comical thing. Could you have seen David look like with Saul's armor on? Saul's this big guy and him down there. Can you see the mail coat? Looks like a dress rather than... And he puts his sword on his side and you're not going to see David. There's his own. Man. It's like, man, this is a death trap. We get down there with that, I'm a dead man. Because you can't even run away with that on. Oh, hallelujah. So David said he hadn't tested that. So, see, in other words, I don't know how this works. So he's going down to what he knows to do. And that's one thing as you learn as you walk by faith, as you do what you know to do. You do what you know to do. You can't do what you don't know. But you walk in faith. This is one thing, as I learned, is over the years, one of the things that really builds you walk in faith. You walk in the light you have. You don't try to walk in light. Somebody else might have a revelation, say something, but you don't have a revelation of it. Walk in the light you got and act on it. Act on it in faith. God will move for you in whatever you can act on and walk in faith. And see, whenever you could, faith is developed like anything else. You prove it over time. If you don't prove the faith in the little things, you ain't going to have no faith in big things. That ain't going to happen. It'll never take place. If you don't know God can do something little for you, you never know He can do something big for you. You can read the stories of other people, but that there's nice. It may encourage you, but you got to know that God will do it for you. And as I've learned over time, we started in the areas of Wanda and I. We walked in little things of faith, and over time, as God proved Himself in little things, we thought they were just fantastic. The fact that you got these things happen, but they were just little things, but we were excited about it. You know, the fact that God would show up and do something, and we thought that was just the greatest thing, but it always led us to believe something bigger, because it was, hey, God worked like this, let's take a step a little bit further, and then we go something. You know, we didn't start at the bottom of the staircase and jump halfway up. That's what people are trying to do. They haven't, there's a lot of people ain't even at the staircase yet, and they're trying to believe God for halfway up, and they ain't going there. You start in little things. Faithful and little rule over much. It's the way the system works. You don't go to the top. You start at the bottom. Hallelujah. And you know what? It is because it builds you. And starting in those little things, it builds confidence in God. That's what happens to you. You'll get really confident in God because you build this relationship over time of building up in these things that you can always stop back and say, you know what? And I've had this many times get into a situation, man, and it just seems tough pushing along, but honestly, I just read, you know, God did this for me back then. I remember He did that, and then He did this. And then He did this for me. I mean, I could sit here all night and tell you stories of things God did for me. I could sit here and tell you story after story after story of things. And I tell you, sometimes I have to tell me that story. Sometimes I have to stop and say, yeah, we're facing, but this is what God, hey, He did this then. See, I could say He did it for me. I don't pull out David's story. Because of these things, I got my own. Hallelujah. I got my own story. That's what you want to get, your own story. Don't ever be ashamed of the little things God did you. Brag on them.
Amen.
You know, back when I was stumbling around, He did this for me. Hallelujah. In the middle of that. So now I'm up here today stumbling around at something bigger, but I'm still stumbling around. But I'm going to stand. Hallelujah. Just as God took care of me there, He'll take care of me here.
Amen.
Glory to God. You know, it's like with David. He said, I fought the lion and the bear. I'll take this big dude. This is a step up from the lion and the bear. But if he hadn't done the lion and the bear, he'd have been dumb down here going after this guy. But see, he had proved God's faithfulness on those things. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to tell you this. David didn't start with the lion and the bear. He had been walking in faith with other things. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you can too. Glory to God. You can walk by faith. Well, we want to see here is David. This thing goes on. Said, then David took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. Said, and when Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. And he says, so the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. And so we look here at verse David says, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. See, David's talking. Who's he bragging on? He said, you know what, buddy? You're going to meet the God of Israel today. You're going to have to answer to the God of Israel. See, the devil will come along and he'll tell you all the problems you've got and everything. Say, hold it. I'm sorry. I'm a child of God. You know you're going to have to run into? See, God taught me when I had my heart attack, And I felt that one thing that the devil, one thing, things that he said to me, I was going to die. It's one of the things he told me right away. I was going to die. And the first thing that came up out of my spirit, I said, Satan, this isn't between you and me. This is between me and my God.
Amen.
You see, David set this thing apart. See, when I read these things like here, I think, oh man, God was moving me like it did here with David. Say, David, this guy's up here yelling, he's talking stuff. He said, hey, hold about. This whole thing is about, you're going to meet God today. And it ain't going to go well for you. You done mouthed off 40 days. You was the big boy. That ends today. Because now God has come out. I know people go through the things. I've heard people teach about why he picked up 5 stones. I ain't got nothing to do with nothing. He used 1 stone. You know, David went down there. He went as a person. He took, you know. It's like he didn't walk down with a gun with 1 bullet in it. You know, as people go around trying to make up stories about all this stuff. No, David's an ordinary guy, and he's going down there and that stuff. He's just obeying God and going down. He's going to do this thing, you know. And so he's heading down there. This giant has his voice. But you see, David has been speaking about faith the whole time. David didn't start speaking faith stuff when he got here to the battle. This is his lifestyle. Saul didn't have a lifestyle of this. David did. This is the difference between David, really big difference between David and Saul. David didn't just all of a sudden start talking like this. Remember when David got anointed, God said he's going to anoint somebody who's after his own heart. David has been one who speaks the word of God. This is what he does. This is his norm. He has a faith in what God can do. And so David goes on to say, listen what he says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Now just think about it. Now, here's this day, this little guy down here, he's saying it. But why is he thinks that he's able to do this? God's going to give this to me. This is what God's going to do. You see, when people just make David the champion, they miss it. David set faith in motion. And without faith, you can't please God. David, this is so pleasing to God. You know, because here's a guy witnessing the greatness of God. Right in the middle of the armies, a scared bunch, and the other guys that think they're tough because they're big champions out there. And David's standing out there, and he's glorifying God. This is what he's talking about, how big his God is. Israel has this big God, and he ain't saying nothing about it. But David comes out. He's glorifying God. He's speaking what God will do. This day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now there's one thing we want to know about this, about David. David was anointed as king, but David was also a prophet. And we see this with David. When David came out here and he's walking by faith, that prophet's anointing starts working. See, a lot of people look at David and say, well, he's just a king, but David was a prophet. That's where the Psalms come from. His Psalms and things were all prophetic. He prophesied about the Messiah. He spoke through a number of the Psalms about the Messiah and things he spoke of. Came out of the prophet's ministry. It said, then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is who? David's? No, he said, the battle's the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. This is what God's going to give you guys into our hands. This is what he's going to do. So this is a wonderful thing that David's doing here in his walking. I want you to see something. Now, we're going to talk about, because we read this, about David and the use of the sling, because one of the things about the use of the sling, you need to get in our thoughts and our mind. They use a term, and I hear people talk about, say, a slingshot. It was not a slingshot. That's not what the sling was. A sling wasn't a slingshot. It wasn't the toy little thing people running around shooting things. Sling was a powerful weapon. In fact, it was a weapon of war that they used in those days. It was a weapon. We read in the book of Judges from the 20th chapter in verse 15 and 16, it says, and the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities, 26,000 men that drew the sword in, besides the inhabitants of Geba. It said, which were numbered 700 chosen. Among this, it says there were 700, it says, chosen men, left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at a hair's breadth and not miss. This was a very accurate weapon. The fact that David hit him with a stone and hit him in the forehead and killed him, it's not a surprise that that could happen. Because this was a powerful weapon. In fact, some years back, I watched a thing on TV. A guy, you know, the guy was over there and he was doing his things. He got, you know, a lot of this ancient weapon stuff in a sling. He took a three-quarter inch piece of plywood and took a golf ball and put it through a 3/4-inch plywood with a sling. I mean, they're powerful. You see, it isn't. It's, you know, it's so about so. It was about so long. It's 2 strings and it has a pouch in it. And they swing out around you, release the one end, and the thing flies. What's ever inside. And you get a guy swinging one of those and knows how to release it. That projectile is moving. The fact that David did this is not something odd. This wasn't a thing that nobody would have seen. The fact that David was walking down with a sling and was saying, oh boy, going down, what is he going to do with that? Nobody said that. The sling was a weapon. It was used in war. And so, you know, I always get a kick out of it because most preachers that preach it, they talk about, oh, he's used a slingshot, and they deal like, oh, this guy went down there, he didn't get down. No, that stone was embedded in his head, and it fell down and killed him, hit him, you know. If you could put a golf ball through a 3/4-inch of plywood, your skull is going to definitely have a hole in it. No problem. Your brain's going to have an object visiting it. Yeah, it's just gonna, that's what's going to happen. So he goes down there, and, you know, the whole thing to me as I look is God kills him with something simple. This guy just done, he's wearing all the armor. But he doesn't realize David's carrying a weapon that's much more accurate than anything he got on him. It's much more accurate. I mean, when it says those guys could, you know, split a hair, that's accurate. And so the fact that David's going down like this, so why? David said, hey, he's going to trust in the weapons that he uses, the stuff that he knows that works. I can't untest it. In other words, he's tested the slingshot. He's good with it. He's good with it. Just one thing is get good with stuff. You know, God can't use you when you ain't good. It's the people many times. You know, sometimes God, we find the Bible did things from stuff for people, but, you know, is the fact of it is, I mean, it doesn't mean that you don't qualify yourself for things. You need to learn to do that. Be skillful. Learn to be skillful. Nothing wrong with doing those kinds of things at all. One of the things, though, that I want you to see there, which says talk about the areas of faith, because it says in Hebrews 11:6, as we've been reading up to this thing, because we see this whole thing, we're going to go, that goes into the battle, but the whole thing, the most important thing is this, the battle is nothing but what takes place about what's already said. The battle, in other words, what David said came to pass. In other words, his faith came to pass. What he said, he believed, and he said, it happened. Just like he said. He ends up killing Goliath, cuts his head off. The Philistines run. Israel goes after him and cuts him down and kills him. The whole thing, just like he said, it was going to happen. See, he spoke these things. He said what God would do. And so this is what is the whole thing is speaking of faith. Like us, when we talk about, you know, when we go back over and look, and I use the things back there where you went into the, if we went back over to Saul in 1 Samuel 13 with Saul, you know, when we look at Saul there, that stuff is what happened with Saul when Samuel told him that he was going to make a sacrifice, and he said, you wait there, you know, the sacrifice. Saul is all worried and thinking, you know, the whole thing he's worried about? He ain't thinking at all, he's anointed by God and everything. He wants to, here's Saul. Saul always has to hear somebody say something or something. He needs to hear the priest say to him, yeah, you go ahead and go. And he don't walk by faith. He doesn't walk by faith at all. So this is why he said, oh, do we got to offer the sacrifice to the priest? And we can hear from the priest. And, he's wearing the thing. It's good. God's going to talk through and that stuff. He's not walking like he's the king and God's going to deliver Israel. So what does he do? He does something foolish. You don't walk by faith. So he tries to step in to the priesthood and offer sacrifices. Because, you know, I got to hear from God. I have to hear from God. Well, at the same time, think about this. Jonathan didn't have to hear from God. He didn't have to go get the priest. He didn't have to. How could he go over there and say, you know what? And one of the things you find out if you back over and read that again, and Jonathan said, let's go up here to these uncircumcised guys. What do you call them? What? They're uncircumcised. They don't have a covenant with God. Let's go up and see them. Two men, I think, Saul got 600 guys. Jonathan's two guys, but Jonathan acts in faith. Saul got 600 guys and he's scared to death. Why? Because he said nothing but faith. He never spoke that God would do a thing. He's waiting for God to tell him it's okay to go do something. It's okay. You know, there's times you might need to hear from God. There's times you just need to stand up. You need to stand up and say, look, God's going to deliver me. In fact, don't bother going to listen to hear from God if you already said, well, he's going to talk to me. He's going to tell me what he wants to do. Start speaking faith. Start saying something by faith. People don't do that. They don't say, they're, you know, well, wait, we'll see. Then after I hear that, I'll decide about the faith thing. No, you go into the thing by faith. You march into it by faith. That's what Jonathan did. Jonathan told his guy. And see, this is when you see the difference between David and Saul. If you look back in all the circumstances and Saul did, never one time did Saul ever talk in such a manner as that. Even as his son, he never talked in that manner. Never did. That's how he became afraid of people. They could rule over him. Why? Because his voice. Look at David in this circumstances. David took control of the whole situation by talking by faith. Everything. God, he took over the army, the king, and everything. Why? Talking by faith. So you need to get over in that area. When you run into circumstances, don't be afraid to say God will do, he's going to do something for you. Don't be afraid to tell people, hey, God's going to take care. He's going to look after me. Hallelujah. As I always tell people, hide and watch. You'll see. Just like with them. They're hiding and watching. And David's going out there. He's talking. He's speaking by faith. But see, he was talking by faith before this. He started getting into this thing. Immediately, he starts speaking by faith. He starts talking. Why are you guys letting this uncircumcised fellow in? This guy don't have a covenant with God. What? You're the army of God. Why is this going on here? Well, see, they can't be afraid. None of them are in faith with it. The leader's not in faith. The leader's not saying that. The leader ain't standing up there and saying, hey, hold it. You know who we are? No, he's out there. My God, see that big dude down there? He's then shaking and his knees are knocking. Well, I'm telling you what, your knees will knock too. You know, many times I've found out you got to be your own encourager. You got to do it. You got to stand up and say it. Anyway, it's like, I always said you got to be your own best cheerleader because lots of times you can't find somebody to cheer you on. Just like David. Did David have anybody to cheer him on? No, Saul was just so glad to see somebody else go besides him. Hallelujah. But really, he encouraged himself by saying what he said and acting on what he said. Hallelujah. Always talk big about what God will do for you. That's... Amen. People are looking for somebody who has confidence. That's what they're looking for. That's what the Lord told me back years ago as a young Christian. He told me, he said, the more confident you are to speak concerning my word, he said, it'll grab people's hearts. He said, your confidence will grab people's hearts. See, the more you're confident about it, it grabs people. See, when people turn around, well, that's what we're going to pray and see what God might do. Is it a whole different? Hey, let's pray and watch God move. It's a whole big difference. Let's see what's God. Well, see if God's going to help us. Not say, don't bother praying, get down to the bar and have a drink, try to forget. Because things are going bad. And at least you won't be shaking as much if you have a couple of drinks. You'll probably be able to, because you might as well do it, or other than that, you're going to be scared. You need a sedative. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it's good stuff, though. Well, in verse 48, it says, we read there, it said, so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. He takes off running toward him. Well, it says, then David put his hand in his bag. He took out a stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistines with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they immediately turned themselves over and said, okay, just as Goliath said, we're going to serve you. No, it's adios, amigos. They all put their sombreros on and rode off into the sunset. They fled. Good idea. But Goliath, you know, big roaring and all that stuff, ends up getting his head cut off by his own sword. Just like God to do something like that, you know. Hallelujah. It says, now the men of Israel and Judah rose and shouted, pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Sharam, and it says, even as far as Gath and Ekron, it says, then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. It says, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. He said, when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. I really find that strange, because he talks about him being, you know, this part of the thing here, I'm not quite sure how this fits in the story, because it really sort of don't make sense. He knows who David is. He's already told Jesse, we're going to find out, because he tells Jesse after this thing goes old that he wants David, you know, working for him full time now. So this is a strange thing, and Abner wouldn't know who he was. And to me, this is sort of like an odd thing here thrown in. It said, so the king said, inquire whose son this man is. It says, then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him, brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? So David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. So it's quite, to me, this is really a something story, but it's a story of faith, of somebody walking. And it, you know, David just didn't become this. If you could just become this by getting anointing, wouldn't have Saul been like that? Sure. See, I see if people don't read this in the Bible, would they see it, you know, if it was just an anointing. No, it was a person who was doing something different. David was different than Saul was to begin with, really, and trusting God about things. David was a guy who depended on God to help him and to do things. And this is one of the things about yourself. It isn't about how strong you are and what you are. Your success as a Christian is based on you, how you trust God, what he can do through you, not what you can do. Don't get that into your mind about your inabilities and your things and stuff. Don't get that into your thing. It's about God using you. What God's looking for is people who will trust him. And just like with David, you know, Saul was the big man. Was God working? Could God do what he wanted to do? No, he couldn't do what he wanted to do through the guy. So even all that Saul could do, it didn't matter. But God used David in the same way he'll use you. Just act on faith on what you know. Walk in the light that you have. Always trust God. You know, always look at the fact of, you know, we're here today and, you know, we hear all this stuff and like you go on the news and it's all this fight. And even among Christians, they're, well, you know, what the people are doing in the nation and all that stuff, whether it's abortion or whatever. And we're always like, what they're doing. You know, a Christian would stop and say, hey, you know what? They're the uncircumcised Philistine. We're the covenant people. What are we sitting around worried about all these people for and what they do? And then we have the nerve to go pray. Well, why bother even going and pray? You're already on the negative side of it. Like you're thinking, well, you know, these bad people are doing this stuff. What are we going to do? No, well, when I see them doing their stuff, well, they feel like, because you know, they don't quit doing what they're doing, they're going to die and end up in hell one day. That's what's going to happen to them. Forever, they're going to be lost in eternity, punishment for eternity, you know? I'm a child of God.
Hallelujah.
I don't have to be afraid of them and what they're doing. I don't have to worry about it. They got to worry about it, what they're doing. Their biggest problem is if I follow God, they'll either you know, turn around and follow God, or it ain't going to turn out good for them. One or the other. And get ourselves in this fact is we're God's children. We're the church in the earth. You know, we're not just some old haggard thing trying to get past and trying to get by down here. Hallelujah. We're God's children. And we need to get ourselves and act in that line, hallelujah, of who and what we are, because God will deliver you. No matter what the situation is and what's going on, get yourself over to faith, just as David did. You know, we have the devil comes and he does things and he tries you, especially one of the things, lots of people are oppressed and depressed and all kinds of things. That dealing with demonic stuff and things going on, don't let the devil push you around with that kind of stuff. So, hey, hold it. No, God's given me a sound mind. I'm a child of God. Devil, get your hands off. Go do something else. Go bug whoever you want, but you don't mess in here. Start talking about it. Don't put it, things that are coming along in life. You know, you, lots of times there's spirits behind natural things that are happening. But you know, deal with them. You know, God will bless me. It don't look like things are going well. Hey, but I know the end result. See, I know the outcome. Faith is about outcome. That's what it is. It isn't about what happens in between. You know, I don't care. You know, as all these people, they sit around like a civil war. I always get a kick out of reading after people say this and still always talking about, well, the South won more battles. Well, did they win the war? I don't care how many battles you are, it's where it ends up. That's what's going to determine. Don't matter. You know, Germany won more battles than anybody did. How did it turn out for Germany? I mean, go look at pictures of what Berlin looked like when the war ended. I mean, they didn't have a house that didn't look like a bomb went off in it. I mean, the whole city was gone. You know, the whole thing of it is it doesn't matter. Sometimes it looks like the devil's winning battles, but I know the end result. My God will deliver me. The devil can go through his things and do it. It's just there, you know. It's like David, you know, the devil goes on till he sends out the biggest guy, you know, and say, everybody's running. So what happened? We do? We pick the little guy. The little guy goes out there. Well, he's the guy God can use because he's the guy who believes God will do something for him. No matter how big the rest of them are, they weren't believing God could do anything for them, through them. He just walks out there and says, you know what? I've been through a few fights. So let's go have another one. God will deliver me out of this one. And hallelujah. Just get a mindset like that of things in life as they come along. Hallelujah. There's always something that will come along. Amen. You know, some days when it rains, it pours, don't it? Some days it's just like, you know, I'm going to tell you, you go through times and it seems like one bad thing happens and there's 47 follow it. But you know, you got to turn around while you're walking the thing. You just decide, now what's going to be the end result of this thing? Am I going to stop and say, well, man, when is this going to end? No, I'll tell you what, I have the victory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to make it through this thing. Glory to God. Going to come out better, not worse. Hallelujah. God's well able to take care of us. And get that, be that in your voice. Use your voice to speak what God, glorify God with your voice on what He will do for you. Amen. Hallelujah. And even for others. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's close there in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you tonight. Father, I thank you for encouraging us. Because, Lord God, we can look at these things and see, Lord God, the situation others were in. But hallelujah, when they trusted in you, you never let them down. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm just so thankful. You're not going to let us down. Hallelujah. If you're for us, it says, who could be against us? Amen. And we just say, thank you, Lord God. Surely you're the God that was for us. Lord, if you would do that for these ones under this old covenant, how much would you do for us in this wonderful covenant under the blood covenant of Jesus Christ? We just thank you, Father, as your children. Father, you're the God that has truly delivered us, Lord God, from the curse of the law, that we truly are the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. Hallelujah. We're blessed going in and we're blessed coming out. Hallelujah. Lord God, we aren't looking at what's happening, Father. We're looking at the way things are going to turn out. And we're the blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father God. You're going to continually prove yourself again and again through us, Father. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. He started it off. He's going to finish it. And it's going to work. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.